Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, as usual, please stay with me because it will be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, with no manipulation, because we do not have hidden agendas. We are not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to ask you to join anything or give up anything. We are only here for one reason, to give you accurate information, information that will verify and identify God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life. That's my job. That's my agenda. That's it, completely. And I have believed for the last 5 years that God has made this radio show available, and it is my privilege, my pleasure to give you this information. And I know the information is accurate. I don't offer useless human speculation. That's not it. I'm offering accurate information from the Bible, from the Word of God, short biblical principles, concepts that can help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And you are free to orient and adjust to the plan if you want to. But that's what the Flatline is about. It's like a window. It's opening to give you a breath of something fresh, maybe a breath of something you haven't heard before. What I'm looking for are those of you out there that are hungry to grow spiritually. For those of you out there that want to grow to spiritual maturity and to become the man or the woman that God intended for you to be. And you hear me push on this show constantly the need for you and me to get under a qualified pastor so that we can learn God's word and apply God's word in our life. What I want you to be, and I want to be one myself, is I want to be a spiritually mature believer. A spiritually mature believer. You know, we all start out as infant believers. We all start out as baby Christians. And we start advancing along a line, going up a hill, and we go through our spiritual infancy and then maybe spiritual autonomy and spiritual self-esteem till eventually we get to spiritual maturity. But you know, this growth stage can take years. It doesn't happen overnight, and Satan will make sure along the way that you get discouraged. He will send plenty of fiery darts from the wicked one to defeat you. And unless you're faithful to stick with God's word and not wander off down the my way highway, then you're not going to make it as far as becoming that spiritually mature believer. It is so easy to get distracted from growth on a daily basis. The details in life assault us every day. I know they do me as well as you. And it's very easy to lose sight of your objective today. Your objective today and your objective every day is to take in the Word of God, to take in the Word of God, and to learn it and apply it into your life. You cannot glorify God if you don't learn and apply His Word. That's our little acronym called LAG, L-A-G, Learn, Apply, and Glorify. And that's your objective and my objective too. If we ever want to become mature believers, if we ever want to be the person that hears our Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," we must grow to be spiritually mature believers. We cannot depend on other people to provide our happiness for us. We cannot depend on other people to provide our security. We must be members of the pivot of God, and that means mature believers who bring blessing to this nation. We have a national blessing, historical blessing. Even we leave a blessing when we go. When we go to heaven, we leave behind a legacy. We leave behind truth. So these are the types of blessings you want to be, and those blessings come in the form of your life as it is guided by the Word of God that becomes a testimony to those around you so that you, in fact, begin to represent Christ to them. They no longer see you, but they see Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory, the Bible says. This was the mystery doctrine of the church. It was never known before that the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament would now come and reside in the life of every individual believer in the New Testament. And that's right. Jesus Christ will indwell you. He will live in you. And the Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. And you now have a new relationship with your Heavenly Father. You're a member of the royal family of God, adopted into the family of God, made heir to all that Christ is heir to, by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's a phenomenal thing, because you can have an invisible impact on your client nation. And I do not mind telling you right now, if there has ever been a time in the history of America that a client nation needs an invisible impact, it is now. We, more than ever before, are at the crossroads of history. And you must be faithful to realize that no man can turn it around. No man can change the course of history that we are facing right now. The Bible clearly says, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man." And the Bible clearly says a verse you've heard millions of times, not literally, but, you know, millions of times. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear their prayers. Listen, it's you. You and I, unless we become mature believers, there's no pivot. Unless we become mature believers, who is God going to use to bless the nation historically? You. You are the one that has to have the invisible impact. In the final analysis of everything, it's the believers in the nation who are responsible for the rise and the fall of that client nation. And America is a client nation to God. We send out missionaries all over the world. We are a protector of the Word of God. We evangelize our people. We are a client nation for God. We are a haven for the Jew. Yes, America. And if there's anything Satan hates, it's America, because of our client nation status. And I do not mind telling you, America is losing its client nation status. We are going under divine discipline. You must have your head in the sand if you don't think so. We are in trouble. All you have to do is look at the trends of history. Look at the trends economically. Look at the trends socially, look at the trends spiritually, and look at the trends of religion. We're in trouble. Economically, we're on a downtrend. Socially, the nation has never been more divided than it is now. Spiritually, well, there are churches on every street corner, I guess, but they're all teaching something different. Very few people even know what the truth is, because we have substituted ritual for reality. We have gotten into the weird stuff in our nation in the name of Christianity. Hollywood has taken over, and a lot of frustrated Dolly World performers are now performing in their local churches because they didn't make it at the stage at Dolly World. I know that's an insult to some people. I don't mean to be so cruel, but you understand the analogy that I'm making. We don't go to church to be entertained. We go to church to learn God's Word. And in many churches, it is not being taught. People are being entertained. So politically, economically, spiritually, socially, we're in big trouble. Look at the graph. Look at what's happening in politics. Not an up graph, but a down graph. Look at what's happening in economics. Not an up graph, but a down graph. Look what's happening socially. Look what's happening. We are in a downtrend. We're not going to survive much longer if we continue on this course. And you want to know something ironic? You know, we can't give the gospel to teenagers in high school anymore. It's offensive. We can't give the gospel on the courthouse steps. It's offensive. We can't pray in the public. It's offensive. can't say the Lord's Prayer at a football game. You can't wear scripture, you know, to school on a shirt. It's just, it's all offensive, you see. And yet, in all of the prisons across America, wardens are begging for men and women of the cloth to come in and teach the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Why is it that we can teach the Bible in prisons, but we cannot teach the Bible in the public arena? Maybe you figured it out just like I did. They want to use religion to calm people down. They want to use religion to get the prisoners to calm down and step in order. That's not what it's about. There are a lot of wonderful men and women in prisons across this nation that are becoming spiritually mature believers because they're hearing the Word of God. They might not have ever heard it before, but they're hearing it now from faithful chaplains, faithful missionaries who go in and pray with them and share with them, and they're growing spiritually. And some of the most phenomenal men and women that I've met in the last few years have been men and women that were incarcerated. That's why I've just written a new book called A Divine Pardon. And this new book is geared to people that are incarcerated, to let them know that God has a divine pardon for them. Even though the government might not pardon their crime they committed, God will pardon them through faith in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to receive a copy of that book, it is free. We never charge. All you have to do is contact us and say, I'd like to have a copy of that book, The Divine Pardon. If you're incarcerated somewhere and you're listening, just write to us. That's Rick Hughes, Post Office Box 100, in the city of Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Rick Hughes, Post Office Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. We'll send you a copy. You will find that it's encouraging, and you will find the wonderful message of grace through faith alone in Christ alone and the provisions that God has made for you, even though you may be in the most bitter environment that man can believe. So our nation is upside down. Our nation is in trouble. And my prayer is that God our Father will raise up men who have the gift of pastor-teacher, men who will dedicate themselves to studying and teaching God's Word before we lose our international impact, before we lose our assorted freedoms that allow us to evangelize the world through missionary activity and build a sound, solid base of mature believers here at home who will support those activities. Satan has a plan. I assure you, it's a plan to neutralize America. It's a plan to shut you down as a Christian, to minimize your effect, to demonize you because you're a weirdo. You believe the Bible. And unless you're faithful to grow in grace, to stay in fellowship, to utilize those 10 problem-solving devices, to become the man or the woman that God intended for you to be, regardless of where you are, then you're going to see all this happen. There's a lot of weird stuff in our nation in the name of Christianity. National best-selling books, books that talk about dreaming your dreams and believing in yourself, and if you do that, God's going to empower you. Now, there's all sorts of tapes, music, multi-million dollar industry in Christian music, videos, dramas, and they're all designed for one thing. They're all designed to make money. They're all designed to make money off of God's name. Listen to Jeremiah 23:25. Beginning in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel, if they had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil ways. You know, God deliver us from glad-handing religious entertainers who pass themselves off as men or women of God. These types are doing more to change the face of modern Christianity from a word-based faith to an eye-candy emotional religion in which nobody learns anything, but you go away feeling good. Your emotions were fired up, and then come Monday morning, you hit a problem. You know, where's the hunger for truth? Why do we sit there like this, being glazed and dazed at this big Hollywood production? Why do we sit there while the pastor gives us a little 15 or 20 minute message and then try to sell you a set of tapes for $20 that you can have that message and take it with you and listen to it in the car, wink, wink? And at the very best, it's shallow. At worst, it's pure false. So why is it so hard to find even one person who's seeking truth and who's willing to get it the old-fashioned way? There is no thing as a one-shot decision that will make you a spiritual giant for God. If you want to be that, there's no such thing as a one-shot decision that'll take you there. It's a daily pattern of growth. You have to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, which is problem-solving device number one. And you have to take in the Word of God on a consistent basis and build a new biblical inventory of ideas called divine viewpoint thinking. See, these are all problem-solving devices. Biblical orientation, grace orientation, the filling of the Holy Spirit, living under the faith rest drill. You want to be that man or woman that God is looking for? You want to be able to solve the problems? You're not ever going to be able to do it playing the game. I know a friend of mine who, I won't give any names here, but he was president of a large corporation. Corporation had over 600 employees, and it was millions and millions and millions of dollars a year they were making, selling their product to some of the largest retailers in America. And yet he and his wife were constantly missing church, constantly missing the teaching of the Word of God. And they had a great pastor. They still do. They had a man who taught God's Word faithfully, consistently from the pulpit of his church. And yet through their business, and they were constantly, constantly gone. Business meetings would always be set up on night of church. And finally, this man and his wife came to the opinion that we have forsaken the Lord and we have gotten too wrapped up in the business. And they made a conscious decision to quit attending business meetings on church night and to quit leaving town, going off on long trips on the weekends when they should be in their church under the teaching of the Word of God. I guess you would think everything turned out all right, wouldn't you? Well, not hardly. The test just began. Once that decision was made, you cannot believe the adversity this family faced, the adversity that they endured, so much so that the man eventually wound up in prison for something that he did not even do. And yet today he has a wonderful ministry to prisoners all across the United States, all because he and his wife made a decision. We are not going to forsake the Word of God anymore. We're going to make it priority number one in our life. And boom, along comes Satan. I can assure you the same thing awaits you. Maybe not prison, but once you begin to make a conscious decision to be faithful to take in the Word of God on a daily basis, you can rest assured that the attack will come. You can rest assured that if you decide to get serious about your spiritual life, if you decide to start a consistent routine or a consistent regimen of Bible study under qualified pastors so that you can advance to spiritual maturity and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, rest assured, you will be attacked. You will be a victim of unfair suffering. And Satan will do everything in his power to neutralize you, to keep you from having an impact for Jesus Christ in his world, the devil's world. Satan will try to discourage you. He will try to defeat you. And unless you are faithful to stick with the Word of God, you will fall by the wayside, as so many Christians have done. They're going to heaven. That's not the problem. The problem is that in the devil's world, they have no impact for Jesus Christ. So when are you going to get serious about it? Spiritual maturity is the objective for God to keep you around after you got saved. Because in spiritual maturity, you have maximum glorification of God. And you're independent of any form of advice or counseling or depending on some human to encourage you. You're mentally stable. You're able to think in terms of biblical reference, doctrine in your soul, and apply it to every circumstance in your life. You have mental stability. You put God's word in front of your experience. You will have maximum courage under evidence testing. You'll have objective reality in your life when you learn and apply the word of God, and you will stay out of self-righteous arrogance, thinking that God blesses you because you don't do something. God blesses you because you don't smoke, or God blesses you because you don't drink. These moralistic concepts are called crusader arrogance. If God blesses you, it's for one reason and one reason only, because you are in Christ. Does God want you to grow up spiritually? Yes. Does God want you to represent Jesus Christ through your life? Yes. Can God bless you as a result of that? Yes. But if you think God's going to bless you because you're building equity with God over some system of morality, God doesn't operate on emotions like that. He doesn't play that game. And yet millions of Christians every week are told that very thing. What appears to cause Christian casualties or spiritual wipeouts or believers who go down the my way highway, believers who fail to learn and execute God's plan, believers who allow their sin-infused human natures to take over and control them, that's what causes destruction. And it's called carnality. We need to take a look at it. We need to look at what happens when a person is captured by their own arrogance and they get into perpetual carnality. So let's take this two words, arrogance and carnality. Arrogance, what is that? You don't hear many preachers talk about arrogance, do you? Arrogance is three things: self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. The first sin ever committed in eternity past by Lucifer was arrogance, when he decided that he would ascend to the throne of God and be like God. That was arrogance. And then in the Garden of Eden, when Eve decided that God was trying to hold out on her, he didn't want her to be as smart as he was. And Satan was able to convince her to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was arrogance. Justification. Arrogance always justifies why it's right and everybody else is wrong. And if you get into it, you will justify why you're right and why God's wrong. And then you will get into self-deception. And then you will go into self-absorption, totally absorbed in whatever it is you want to get into. This will lead you into carnality. Carnality is the believer out of fellowship with God. There's temporal carnality. That's like when you and I commit a sin. We're temporarily carnal. But if we rebound and confess that sin, then we're filled with the Holy Spirit and resume our spiritual life. But perpetual carnality, that's when a believer gets out of fellowship with God, does not rebound, problem-solving device number one, does not confess his sin, and stays out of fellowship with God over a long period of time. He's perpetually carnal. And it's called post-salvation sinning. He doesn't follow orders. He doesn't refrain from letting his old sin nature control him. What are some of our orders? You mean, what do you mean he doesn't follow orders? Big Rick, what you talking about? He doesn't follow orders. Well, listen, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Satan seeks to neutralize and destroy you, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 2:11, do not let Satan get an advantage over you. Ephesians 4:27, do not give place to the devil. But when you neglect the word of God, when you substitute entertainment for learning, you are playing right into the devil's hand. in regards to the lure that the world throws out at you? 1 Corinthians 1:20, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. Hey, the world's got all kind of wonderful things they'll throw at you. Hey, you want to be happy? Do this. You want to be happy? Go there. That's not the key to happiness. And in regards to the flesh, well, the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit in Galatians 5:17. In Romans 13:14, do not make provision for the flesh. In Mark 7:20, that which comes out of the heart of man defiles him. In 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lust. There are your mandates. There are your orders. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You have three enemies. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't learn how to defeat these enemies, you will stay in perpetual carnality. You will come under discipline from God because He loves you. And He's doing this discipline to try to coerce you into getting back into fellowship and not self-destructing. But in spite of that, if you ignore warning discipline, if you ignore divine discipline, then you get into dying discipline. Warning discipline, intense discipline, dying discipline. We'll get to all of it. We'll explain it to you. And we will explain that once a believer moves into perpetual carnality, he begins a perilous slide down the slope of what's called reversionism. He starts going in reverse. And this may explain what happened to your son or to your daughter or to your loved one who at one time appeared to have a close relationship with God, but now has moved completely away from any interest in the Bible. It's called reversionism. And when we turn the other way, it cannot be distinguished from even the unbeliever. So the believer starts to act like an unbeliever, and you can't tell them apart any longer. There's a lot to say about this, and I sure hope you'll stay with me. I hope I haven't discouraged you. I hope I've challenged you to get with the program, to grow up, to be the man or the woman God intended you to be. There's only one way to do it. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit and take in God's Word every day. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline, saying thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.